like yesterday.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A welcome development among the G7. The G7 is a group of the seven wealthiest nations in the world. There are other groups of this one and that one, 20, you know, depends on whether you're just doing wealthiest, whether you're just doing EU and so on. But the United States is a major, major player in that group, obviously, as having the biggest economy in the world, most prosperous and freest economy in the world. They have agreed on a new global mini tax, minimum tax. Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, did a very nice job working on that. And Joe Biden pushed it very, very hard. And here's the deal. Tax policy is very complex. The IRS rules and regs and statutes, very, very long. People devote their whole lives to it. But basically, something like the top 50 companies in this country pay no income tax. They pay no income tax. They use various deductions, various strategies. All of them have a basis in reason. But when you think that the average person is really funding this company, this country, not the average company, the average person is doing it out of their wages, the taxes on their wages, taxes on their investments, which might be mutual funds, you know, some in the stock market, but small potatoes compared to the biggest companies. Amazon paid no taxes. Who pays taxes? Very few people pay taxes in the top 50 companies. In fact, none of them. Part of the way they do it is they're international companies, so they'll attribute their income into a foreign country with a lower tax rate. Ireland has a much lower tax rate because it has succeeded in attracting a lot of companies to put up manufacturing facilities, Microsoft, for instance, and a lot of others. Because Irish workers are very good, they're very educated, and it works for the company. And that's great, except then they make a lot of income, and the tax in Ireland is very small. Then what they do is, and they do this elsewhere, they'll do it in France, they'll do it in Italy, Spain, Germany. Then they park the money over there. They park it in an account at interest, and they sit on it. They report it on their SEC filings, Securities and Exchange Commission filings, because companies, public companies are required to file things, but they pay no American tax until they repatriate it, which means bring it back to this country. Then they don't bring it back to this country. And when they get a Republican president like Trump, they work out a deal where they don't pay income tax, not regular rates on bringing it back, some very, very small rate. And this has been going on for a long time. Biden's idea, and Yellen worked on it with him, is why don't all of these countries in the G7, which functionally will mean countries elsewhere, because a lot of these companies like Microsoft may be willing to set up manufacturing facilities in Ireland or Spain or France or Italy. They're not going to be willing to do it in countries that don't have a good education infrastructure, that are unstable, that have people... ideological groups, you know, rating companies and all that. So the idea by Biden and Yellen is, why don't we all have a 15% minimum tax? After you're done with all the chicanery, all the skullduggery, all the detailed tax planning, so that you say you pay no tax, okay, but you still have to report your profits, your revenue and your profits. You're going to pay 15% anyway, so it doesn't do you any good. All the skullduggery, all the maneuvering, all the tax lawyers going over with a fine-tooth comb, and they get it down to zero, and you go, great, now give me 15%. If all G7 companies did that, which are basically the companies that you're going to have high-tech manufacturing in, because you're not going to have them in countries that are, you know, have very good people show up who are not educated, very difficult to train, and there can be quality control problems. So the idea is trying to get them all to agree to a 15% minimum. And they did. They did. They agreed to a 15% minimum. Now there is a further, I don't want to say obstacle, I don't want to say problem. Now Biden and Yellen have to sell that to the Congress, okay? Now, you have skeptical people all over the Congress. Every one of the Republicans essentially is a vandal. The few exceptions like Mitt Romney, people like Liz Cheney in the House, people like Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, for instance, stood tall, and in the case of Cheney, voted to impeach. And in the case of Murkowski, Mitt Romney voted to convict. Mitt Romney on both impeachments, Ukraine, January 6th, Murkowski only on January 6th, but that's all they do. Everything else, they're hardcore Republicans. So you're going to start out with 50 Republicans who are opposed to it. They do it to vandalize. They do it to destroy the Biden administration, the way they tried to destroy the Obama administration, the way they said in advance they would destroy the Hillary Clinton administration. Moscow Mitch and the others said, we won't advance a single Supreme Court appointment by Hillary Clinton if she's in her 4 years. That's what they said. That's not in the interest of the United States. So what do you do? How do you convince this Congress, to agree to a 15% minimum tax on corporations, even if they hide stuff overseas, legally, even if they engage in the usual maneuvering skullduggery on taxes? How do you do it? First of all, are there any Republicans who are willing to do something for the good of this country? Because we lose at least $1 trillion in tax revenue every year simply through non-reporting and fraud. And that doesn't include companies that don't pay taxes, because they do report and they're not committing fraud. That is the present law. That's the present law. So if they put up a filibuster, Moscow Mitch raises his pinky, because right now there are no standards for filibusters other than say, oh, I filibuster. So send me the 10 names of my caucus and then we'll talk. And they don't have 10 names. In the case of the January 6th commission, they had 7 names. And they had another one who said he might be for it, but not 10. For that reason, it failed. Republican Party is in bad faith. Can't be trusted with money. Can't be trusted with the affairs of the United States, for that matter. None of them are going to go along with it. What that means is all 50 Democrats are going to have to go along with it. And it's going to have to be either done in budget reconciliation or by suspending the filibuster for this one vote. Just one vote, not in general. When Moscow Mitch came in, Moscow Mitch became majority leader. Remember that? And under Obama, he said, well, we're suspending the filibuster for Supreme Court appointments. And then we're suspending the filibuster for Donald Trump's cabinet picks. He didn't hesitate to do it. We're apparently hesitating to do it, and he didn't hesitate to do it. That's not bipartisanship. If they ever get in again, they'll do the same thing. They'll suspend it frequently when they want to, and then they'll claim they didn't overall on meaningless bipartisan things like who to name the post office in Biloxi, Mississippi, or something. That's the way this works. It's very sad, but that is the way it works. Now, what do you do? How do you get 10 of them? I don't think you are going to get 10 of them. Then how do you get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to vote for it? You'd think, you know, something in West Virginia, there aren't a lot of constituents voting for Joe Manchin who are parking hundreds of millions of dollars in Europe, okay? there aren't a lot of people in this country that have a couple hundred million dollars. And for this guy to continue to say he's not going to suspend the filibuster even for one bill, is plain wrong. There's something wrong with the guy, frankly, Manchin, something wrong with him. But in any event, Yellen has her work cut out for him. And I think the message has to go to our European allies. I mean, yeah, we're pushing this. Can't guarantee we're going to get it through this Congress. We can't guarantee we're going to get it through this Congress. See what happens in 2022. Let's get Biden reelected in 2024. And we get a majority in the Senate of maybe 52 senators, so we can lose the two wishy-washy ones and still do it. That's what we'll do. Stand by. It's going to be a very, very rocky road. But the good news is that the G7, the other major countries, Britain, France, Italy, UK, and so on, have said fine. That is key. That is important. And ultimately, if I were the CEO of one of the 50 largest companies, some of them should support this. As long as their competitors have to do it, they can do it. And this will ensure stability instead of massive deficits. And frankly, visually, it looks very bad when somebody making $40,000 or $50,000 a year is paying taxes, income taxes, and they're not. That's just plain wrong. Another volley coming out of the Civil War in the Republican Party. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia was booed. He was booed at the Republican convention in Georgia. He was booed. They say it was by Trump supporters. There's a lot of them. If it was Trump supporters, it's a lot of them. And this is a guy who's right wing. This is a guy who has pushed some of the worst voter restriction legislation in the country in history. This is the guy who, when he ran against Stacey Abrams, he was Secretary of State, threw hundreds of thousands of Democrats off the voter rolls. She only lost by 40,000 votes. This should be a Republican's Republican, full of chicanery and election fraud. But the one thing he did that ticked them all off, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump in Georgia, and Kemp was not willing to, quote, overturn that. How's he going to overturn it? The law is he has no voice over it. It was certified by the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who's also a Republican, and it's for voter repression. He's also a Republican, okay? But because of that one peccadillo, they want purity. They want purity. They booed Brian Kemp. It's a seriously disturbed party. We're going to a break. Now, the lines are live. We don't have enough time to take a call right now. It's a quick break. Stay on the line. Do not hang up. A lot to talk about. But I cannot believe this civil war in the Republican Party when they boo a voter repressor like that just because he didn't say, hey, I'm going to stop something that I have no power to stop. Ridiculous. Going to a break. Stay on the line. Line is still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.